Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon today? A Walk to Remember. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 24, these verses. Now two of them were walking the same day to a village called Emmaus. I invite you to open up your service folder and find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, A Walk to Remember. Did you know, I'm sure you do, that almost all health professionals tell us today that long walks, if not runs, are good for all of us. They tell us that just 30 minutes of walking exercise every day can bring us endless benefits. I know personally that my daily walks, especially my daily runs, give me mental and physical and spiritual boosts. Just after Jesus' resurrection on Easter, two disciples who were unknown to us went on a walk. Let's read again a part of Luke 24 so you can get the scene. Now, two of them were walking that day to a village named Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked about all these things that had happened. And so it was, while they talked, Jesus himself drew near and he walked with them. But their eyes were restrained and they didn't recognize him. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the devil, chose to go on a walk that same day. Of all the places he could have gone, all the places he could have been, he chose to go on a walk with these two disciples. They were in bondage to their fear and to their sadness. Then our risen Lord came to walk with them. Of all the places he could have been, appearing before kings and majesty, he decided to take a lonely walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus with these two guys. He revealed himself to them as he opened up God's holy word, the scriptures, to them. He showed that every promise in the Old Testament had been fulfilled in him, that he was alive. This walk brought those two disciples freedom. This was a walk they would always remember. Today's sermon is about walks. An ex-slave named Mary Barber went for a life-changing walk someday. Let me tell you about her life and times. Mary could tell you about slavery. Firsthand, she remembers the master and the plantation from the deep south of the USA. She remembered the hot working days and the cruel whip of the master. Mary could tell you about slavery, but she'd rather tell you about freedom. And this is what she did, because in 1935, a professional writer knocked on Mary Barber's door in Raleigh, North Carolina. He was working on a book telling the experience of ex-slaves. Many memories were shared about life in the late 1800s and the mid-1800s. But of all the memories, of all these ex-slaves, the one most vivid was the hour of freedom, the night when the American Civil War was over and the slaves were declared to be free. Mary Barber was 10 years old the night her father woke her up and put her on the wagon to freedom. Now imagine over an 80-year-old woman in 1935 rocking in the rocking chair in her porch in Rolla, North Carolina, heirs, eyes staring out to a point on the horizon telling this story. Now listen to Mary's own words, and I'll read them to you exactly as she spoke them. One of the first things I remember was my pappy waking me up in the night, dressing me in the dark, and telling me, shh, keep quiet. Mammy picked up the twin baby boys. We had to move quick. We snuck out of the house and walked down the wood path past the master's big house. I reckons I will always remember that walk. The bush slapping against my legs, the wind in the trees, the owls a-hooting, and we walked and we walked until finally we was at the wagon pulled by the mules. Then am the quilt at the bottom of the wagon, and on this they laid us young'uns. Mammy and Pappy get on, and Pappy drives off down the road, and Pappy kept on to saying to Mammy, we is free, we is free, we is free. I was sleepy, I was scared. I don't remember all of it. But I reckons I will always remember that walk to the wagon, that walk to freedom. The Emmaus disciples walked to freedom. Mary Barber walked to freedom. And permit me this morning to tell you, I guess you could call this a personal testimony about when I was a young boy and how a life-changing walk changed my entire life and my eternity. Some church members I've shared this story with. That life-changing walk for me started with a house fire. As some of you might know from our conversations, as I shared with the young people in confirmation this morning, I was raised in a non-Christian family. We never attended worship. Our dairy farm had gone under. We couldn't make it anymore. We moved into town. Times were tough, and the house was very small for the six of us. Money was non-existent. But on one Saturday morning, my parents went grocery shopping, and I was watching, you can guess, a baseball game on a little black and white TV with rabbit ears. Remember those? The rule in our house on Saturday morning was whichever kid got up earliest and got in front of the TV controlled the TV and could watch whatever they want. Ha, 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 older sister Mary, I got there first and I was watching a ball game. But then my older sister came running into the living room shouting, Stephen, the house is on fire. The house is on fire. And I said, sure, Mary. You're not going to pull that one on me because if I get up, you'll take the television, but the house was on fire. Little brother Mike had been playing with matches upstairs in the bed covers, and he had set the upstairs on fire. Mary went to call the firemen. I ran upstairs stupidly through the flames to save my prized possessions. I broke out a window and threw out the window my ball glove and my baseball bat. Went out to get the garden hose to begin to put the fire out. The firemen came and literally kicked my little bottom down the stairs out of the house so they could do their work. Imagine being my parents, coming home from Saturday grocery shopping to a house smoldering on fire, crying children, fire trucks, neighbors in the community watching, and one more financial setback. But then came the act of God that changed my life forever. Reuben Elizondo, just on Friday, you came to my office to visit, and we shared together a passage from Genesis 50, verse 20, that says, man meant this for evil, but God can bring good out of evil. Look it up. Then came an act of God that changed my life forever. It began with a walk, a short walk, a half a mile walk, a walk taken by a Lutheran pastor and a handful of his church members, a walk to bring mercy and God's love and a new start for my family. Before we had a chance to ask anybody for help, help was on its way. With no strings attached, this pastor and some of the lay leaders of that congregation came and helped us rebuild our house. And the neat thing through all this was different families adopted each of us three kids that were school age because the fire happened in late August. And they bought us a whole new wardrobe of clothes. I was so excited as an 11-year-old, almost 12, starting junior high, middle school. I didn't have to go to school with the only clothes I had, two cheap Kmart pants and shirts. This family bought me. Wait till you hear it. Now, this is middle 60s, by the way. This family bought me a pair of bell-bottom pants, platform boots, paisley shirts. I was cool at school. After everything was said and done, then the pastor graciously invited our family to church. I'll never forget Dad's reply. Now, pardon the dairy farm language. But when the pastor invited us, my dad turned to my mom, and he said, "Ah, hell, Evelyn. It's the least we can do to say thanks." Now, maybe his words and his motivation weren't the best. But let me tell you, God was in that moment. And that moment changed my life forever. For soon, I began to take a walk. Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., half-mile walk to confirmation class. There is about 12-year-old boy, for the first time in my life, I heard about my Savior Jesus and all that He had done for me. And suddenly, visions of becoming a ball player became so less important when the people, the church, and the pastor said, "Maybe you should think about becoming a pastor." I said, "No, I'm playing second base for the New York Yankees. I'm still waiting for the call, but it hasn't come." And soon I learned God had a whole other purpose working through this house fire. Remember, man meant it for evil, but God can bring good out of evil. Not only did He bring our entire family into the Christian faith through confirmation class, my mom and dad as well, He set me on a new path at life. Because soon after education, I became a pastor, and then a seminary professor training pastors, and now, again in my last years in ministry, a pastor once again. All because people took a walk to bring the love of Christ to our home and then invited us to walk to Wednesday night confirmation class. To quote Mary Barber, the ex-slave, "I reckons I will always remember that walk. The walk of the pastor and his people to our burnt house. The walk week after week on Wednesday night to confirmation class. Like the Emmaus disciples and Mary Barber, these walks led to freedom." You see, when your Lord comes to deliver you from bondage, when the Lord comes to you to deliver you from bondage and bring you to freedom, what do? You walk with Him. And you never forget. The Emmaus disciples didn't. Mary Barber didn't. I certainly haven't. And an Ethiopian man named Tigane didn't forget the special walk either. Tigane belonged to the Wallamo tribe in Ethiopia. In the years before World War II, missionaries were sent there to bring the salvation message of Jesus to a Satan-worshipping tribe. These missionaries walked miles and miles into dangerous territory to do their missionary work. Tigane was one of their first converts. Tigane was a slave. And he then went on countless walks to a secret place where the missionaries were teaching God's word. Because of that, his master beat him. Because of that, his master humiliated him. It was the price Tigane was willing to take a walk to hear God's word. There was another price, though, he couldn't afford. He couldn't purchase his freedom. For only $12 in those early 1940s, his master would release him. For a slave, $12 could have been a million. But when missionary Raymond Davis learned of this, he did everything he could to earn that money. which wasn't an easy thing to do because his mission was struggling financially. But he raised the money and he paid for Tegane's freedom. At great danger to his own wife, Raymond Davis went on a long walk to this slave master and hand-delivered the payment to the Satan-worshipping master to free his slave, Tegane. Tegane was now free, physically and spiritually. And he never outlived his gratitude to the man who had redeemed him. Sadly, though, soon after, missionaries were expelled from Ethiopia, and 24 years passed till Raymond Davis came back to the Walomo tribe. During this quarter of a century, Tegane became a fearless evangelist and witness for his Savior, but he longed to see Raymond Davis again. When after all those years, Tegane got word that Davis was returning, Tegane walked to that old mission station 22 days in a row. He didn't know when Davis was coming, but every day for 22 days, he walked that long distance to the missionary station. It was a long walk, a hot walk. Date on a calendar and a clock on a wrist meant nothing to this African tribesman. Tegane took the same walk day after day for 3 weeks to meet up with Raymond Davis again. Finally, Davis arrived in a jeep driven by another missionary. When Tegane saw the vehicle, he ran to the passenger window and took Davis's hand and began to kiss it again and again. The driver slowed up the jeep so Tegane could run alongside and keep up. And as he ran alongside, he yelled out to his friends, "Behold, behold, the man who redeemed me has returned." Finally, the jeep stopped. Davis got out. Tegane fell to his knees, wrapped his arms around the Redeemer's leg, and kissed the dirty, dusty shoes of the man whose beautiful feet brought the gospel of Jesus to him. That same man who had walked such a long walk years ago to bring the gospel to this tribe. I reckons Tegane will always remember that walk. The Emmaus disciples, the ex-slave Mary Barber, me, Tegane, all in bondage, all freed, all because of a wonderful walk. I imagine none of us, or to use Mary Barber's words, I reckons, we will always remember that walk. My friends, I pray that you will never forget your walk. That walk that for the first time brought you into God's holy presence, into God's church, into the arms of your Savior who died and rose for you. And I also pray if there's anyone here this morning who does not have a church home, or would like to know more about the love of the Savior, that you will never forget to walk into this holy house of God, where you are always welcome. But even more, my dear friends, I pray that you will never forget, but you will always remember Jesus' walk for you. His humbling walk, as he willingly left the glories of heaven to come to our sinful world to heal and forgive and to love us. His painful walk, as he bore his own cross, going there to die, to pay for the sins of the world, to pay for your sins and, thank God, to pay for mine. And his victorious walk, bursting out of that tomb on Easter Sunday morning, when by the thunderous glory of his resurrection, he destroyed the power of sin. He destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the power of the devil. And everything he did for you. But the walk isn't over. The journey isn't complete. There's one more walk that needs to be made. I will come back, Jesus promised. On Easter Sunday, he won the victory. Soon after, he ascended back to his Father in heaven. But as he left, he promised his disciples he would return. And he will one day return to usher in the end of this world and the beginning of all eternity. Jesus, like the missionary I told you about, will one day come back for his followers. And we, like Tegeni, will not be able to control our joy. The one who has redeemed me has returned, we will then say. And the journey will end. The final walk will be finished. And to quote Mary Barber, I reckons we will always remember that walk to glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.